Well, I may not have much experience about preaching, but I think it's a bit worrying when the bloke who gets up here starts off by completely forgetting about his notes for 2 minutes, but that might end up happening right now. So I did just want to start off by reiterating for myself, as a young bloke, it really is genuinely encouraging for me to see so many silver crowns of wisdom in the crowd while we all wait for our gold ones to be given by God. So thank you. And for you younger ones, you guys are really blessed to have all this wisdom and experience in the room. Take advantage of that. So yeah, just wanted to kind of kick things off by saying again, thank you all for letting this team of complete strangers from a very strange place, where on earth is Melbourne, come and join in with your church family for this last week. It's been great getting to know you all and, meet some new brothers and sisters in the faith. So before I completely kick off and hopefully we see a miracle of God using these fumbling lips to speak his word, I just want to clearly put it out there that I really wish I could have come further in the areas I'm going to preach on for myself. Whole time I'm going to be speaking, I'm going to be pointing one finger out, and I got all four of the rest of these pointing right back at me. I tell you what, I really need God's grace on this front. Steal a line from C.S. Lewis, and I will completely look at my notes for this one. In his sermon, A Slip of the Tongue, when a layman has to preach a sermon, I think that he is most likely to be useful or even interesting if he starts exactly from where he is himself, not so much presuming to instruct as comparing notes. That's kind of what I want to do here today. And to help out with that, I'd like to pray before I go any further. Dear Father God, our great and loving King, I want to thank you so much for bringing us all here today to learn more about you and to share in sweet fellowship together. I pray that as I speak today, you'll use my faltering lips to speak what you want me to say and nothing else, Lord. Nothing that won't be uplifting to my brothers and sisters. Please speak into each of our hearts today in the way that only you can. And please give us all the will to apply it into our lives. In your name, amen. Cool. So first things first, if you've got a Bible, please open it to, open it and keep it open because we're going to be doing a bit of page flipping, a good bit of hand exercise today. And as a disclaimer, I'll be using 1 Corinthians 11:1 as my main focal point. So if I don't focus on the rest of the verses from the reading as much, you've been given fair warning. And if you don't know what 1 Corinthians 11:1 says, then good morning. I hope you enjoyed your nap, and please try to stay awake for the rest of the service. 1 Corinthians 11:1. Follow my example as I follow the example of Christ. Well, I think that says all needs to be said. See you next Sunday. You need me to explain a bit more? I think it's pretty... Okay, fine. Let's have a bit of a deeper look together then. So, imitate Paul as he imitates Christ. What are we supposed to do with that? Do we maybe become a carpenter until age 30, 3 years of ministry, and get hung on a cross? No. Just, if that's what it means to imitate Christ, I've already failed, and Paul failed before he even started. So I don't think that's quite what it means. I think it's more like a younger sibling. I wish I had one here with me today, but I don't. Toddling up to their older brother while he's having a conversation. And then trying to mimic the way he's standing. Try to stretch a little taller, hands behind the back, whatever that looks like. It's us looking to our older brother and trying to copy the way that he walks, talks, acts, and lives. Because honestly, like it or not, brothers and sisters, we may be the only version of Christ that some people in our lives meet. Now, I don't know about you, but I reckon those are some pretty big shoes to fill. But I also know that I can't, I know that I can't fill them on my own. And I can't cover every aspect of Jesus' life and example that he's given us in the short amount of time that I have today. So I'm going to be covering two different aspects of Jesus' example that I've been hit by hardest myself. Again, share my notes. And these two are going to be his servant-heartedness and his radical love. So, to start with, we're looking at Jesus' servant-heartedness through the lens of John 13, 12 to 15. I'll give you a little bit of time because I've got a flick there myself, but I can cheat because I've got bookmarks. John 13, 12 to 15. When he had finished washing their feet, he put on his clothes and returned to his place. "Do you understand what I have done for you?" he asked them. "You have called me teacher and Lord, and rightfully so, for that is what I am. Now that I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also should wash one another's feet. I have set you an example that you should do as I have done for you." So what's going on here? Well, Jesus and the 12 disciples are eating the Last Supper together when Jesus gets up, takes off his outer garments, wraps a towel around his waist, and begins to wash the disciples' feet. Now, this one needs a little bit of explaining because there's some cultural context that's lost. So, you know how feet, they're not exactly the most glamorous part of today's society? I mean, ask any kid's cartoonist and they'll tell you, at the very least, feet really stink. And if you believe my little sisters, mine and my dad are probably the worst in the world. I don't see the big issue, but maybe my nose is blocked or something. I mean, the socks that we use to just cover our feet are practically considered biological weapons in some cases. I mean, honestly. So it's safe to say, it'd still be kind of gross to wash someone's feet today. But what if we set the Wayback Machine to about 2,000 years ago in the Middle East? Sneakers, not a thing. Socks are not a thing. Sealed roads, cars, forget about it. They're not even a concept. So imagine if the main way that you traveled was to walk along these dusty roads, all of them got a liberal smattering of dry and wet animal, let's be nice and call it waste, and combine that with a regular sweat and stink of feet. That is what Jesus is cleaning. Not really a fun job. And in fact, it was usually reserved for slaves, the lowest in their society. And yet here's Jesus, their teacher and Lord, washing their feet. He's showing them that there's no task that's too menial or low for him as their leader to stoop to serve them. And he says he has set an example for how they should serve each other. Now, I hear you saying, that's right, I'm a psychic. So I should just go around washing people's feet. Set, right? No, please. I'm going to keep my shoes tied tightly for after the service, just to be safe. Doesn't mean that we need to literally go around washing each other's feet. But we may be called to do something equally unpleasant. Say, maybe helping out that poor beggar at the front of Woolies when all you wanted to do was just run in real quick to grab a bit of milk. Or maybe asking that crying young woman along the side of your beautiful beachside boardwalk in the morning if there's something wrong, if you can help. Or maybe talking with a new acquaintance about Jesus when they're really struggling and they need a word from God. Maybe it could be even a little more subtle, but still equally inconvenient. maybe even a little closer to home. For one recent one I can remember, I'd come home from work one day. I was absolutely knackered. Been a long day. One or two things had gone, well, not wrong, but just slow and annoying at work. I was a little bit dusty, just wanted nothing more to grab my clothes for a shower, hop in, and then crash on the couch afterwards. But as I was walking down the hallway to my room, I noticed that the door to the oldest of my little sister's room was closed. Nothing wrong there. She usually closes it when she's chatting with her friends on the phone. But I felt a bit of a tug in me to go and just knock on the door, see how she's going. And as soon as she told me to come in, I could hear there was something wrong. So I opened the door, and she's sitting there on her bed, just in tears, completely overwhelmed by a whole lot of stuff that had just spiraled from uni that day. So, I end up sitting there for the better part of an hour, just letting her vent, talk it through, applying hugs as needed, just serving her however she needed. Even though I wanted to just go straight to the shower, clean off, crash, my service for that day looked like sitting next to my crying little sister and comforting her. Or maybe another example. I grew up in Papua New Guinea, and while I was there, I got absolute privilege of meeting an amazing pastor, Pastor Sambino. Just, you talk with the guy and you feel the Holy Spirit just radiating off him. He's an incredible guy, absolute gold. Anyway, so there was one Sunday, I just graduated year 12, I was about to head back to Australia on my own, and I tell you what, after 14 years of calling Papua New Guinea my home, that was hard, both for me and my family. So we went to his church for a service, just so I could have a chance to say goodbye to everyone, and we had a great time worshipping there. Absolutely beautiful time with the brothers and sisters. And so afterwards, the Pastor Sambino came up to us and said, my family, we've prepared some lunch for you. We wanted you guys to come and have a meal with us before you leave. And so, all right, can do that. Chatted with a few people after church, went to his house. I tell you what, it was absolutely massive. The man had put on a feast. We had three massive chickens for a small group and these sweet potato, carrots, potatoes, greens, just you're stacking your plate that high. This poor pastor from a small church in the back blocks of Papua New Guinea ministered to us and served us by giving abundantly from the little he had. This is the sort of thing that you would do for a family member who's just graduated high school. He was welcoming me and my family into his family. Tell you what, in a good way, that made it harder to leave Papua New Guinea. Maybe is Jesus calling you to invite that young family down the road to your place to minister to them? So maybe these specific ways to serve may not be exactly what God's calling you to do, but the point still stands. Jesus set an example for us to serve others, even if it inconveniences us in our money, our energy, our time, our social standing, even our comfort zone. Us on the IDT team, you already heard some of it. We've been immensely blessed. People opening our homes for showers and laundry. I think that's a blessing both to us and those around us. Or even the Florence's family. Yesterday, we went out to visit their farm, and I tell you what, instant hospitality right there. We're all just so incredibly loved and ministered to. Thank you guys for welcoming us in there. I challenge you, brothers and sisters, listen to how God is calling you to serve, and then follow through on it. Now, for Jesus' example of radical love, I've got two different passages. The first one, Philippians 3:3-4. Again, I'm cheating with bookmarks, but you still got a little bit of time. Philippians 3, 3 to 4. For it is we who are the circumcision, we who serve God and by his Spirit, who serve God by his Spirit, who boast in Christ Jesus, and who put no confidence in the flesh, though I myself have reasons for such confidence. If someone else thinks they have reasons to put confidence in the flesh, I have more. And then the second one, 1 Timothy 1, 12 to 16. I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who has given me strength, that he considered me trustworthy, appointing me to his service. Even though I was once a blasphemer and a persecutor and a violent man, I was shown mercy because I acted in ignorance and unbelief. The grace of our Lord was poured out on me abundantly, along with the faith and love that are in Christ Jesus. Here is a trustworthy saying that deserves full acceptance. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the worst. But for that very reason, I was shown mercy, so that in me, the worst of sinners, Christ Jesus might display his immense patience as an example for those who would believe in him and receive eternal life. Sorry, I'll get a bit of water. Jesus' radical love. How much more radical can you get than pouring out abundant grace on, what does he put it as? A blasphemer and a persecutor and a violent man. Well, how about someone who muddies their conversation in a small group with the mud of pride, or who studies God's word with mixed motives? What about me? I'll be completely honest here. When I started writing this sermon, back in Hurstbridge, I was slightly flippant when I was doing it. I had a lot of biblical training poured into me over my life. Mission Field's a pretty good place to have people pour into you. Even though I was a little bit worried about about being ineffective or not properly handling God's word, thought he would still give me a word to give to all of you. Little did I realize that he had a word for me to pass on to you through the example of my life. So as I was sitting down with, Pastor Ollie, I'll combine the two, and preparing for this sermon, he gave me a few points to start from where God was working in my life rather than starting with my knowledge. And then as we were chatting, God just put a little thought in my head. He asked me if I was earnestly seeking to know him more with all the learning that I was and knowledge I was trying to gain, or if there was a part of that mixed in there, probably not even an insignificant part, just a good part of it, that was due to pride. To have that snappy bit of fact that can shut down all arguments. To have that perfect piece of theological wisdom to place in a small group conversation. Not just to build my brothers and sisters up, but instead to feel pride at having been the one to put it there. I realized that I'd been muddying the pure gold of God's truth with the mud of my own pride. I tell you what, that was a smack upside the head. Honestly, can still feel it a bit. I was honestly speechless for a good while, like just kept my hand over my mouth. I felt like I could not trust my own tongue. I still feel like that, to be honest. I almost half feel like it'd be better for my tongue to be cut out at this stage. I felt like anything I said or did would just end up smearing more mud into the gold and defiling God's good works. I had no confidence in the flesh whatsoever. That's when Ollie left me with Psalm 51. I won't read it now just for the sake of time, but it's a good one if you want to go back and look at it later, Psalm 51. But yeah, it's King David's prayer of repentance after he committed adultery with Bathsheba. And as I read this chapter over, I felt the scriptures come alive to me as I confessed with David that I was sinful from birth. And I asked to be cleansed with hyssop, washed whiter than snow, and to have him create in me a pure heart. For me, a big image was cleaning out an old brick cistern that they used to use to store water, so that pure water could be stored in there again. And oh, my brothers and sisters, that immense relief that he did just that for me. That I can truly say with Paul, thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who has given me strength, that he considered me trustworthy, appointing me to his service. The grace of our Lord was poured out on me abundantly, along with the faith and love that are in Christ Jesus. Here is a trustworthy saying that deserves full acceptance. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the worst. Can you say the same? Has there been a time in your life where you can say that God's grace was poured out on you abundantly? That you were shown mercy, even though you were the worst of sinners. Embrace this amazing and radical love, brothers and sisters. It is amazing. Amen. Bask in the fact that you are forgiven. Then, with God's help, follow the example of our older brother in the Bible, whether that be through serving or being an example of one of the worst of sinners that has accepted his radical love. And if you can't say that, then can I please ask you to consider looking into this further? Jesus stands right behind you, his loving arms wide open. All he asks is that you turn to him, ask for his forgiveness for all the wrong that you've done, every secret lie, every hateful muttering under the breath, probably in a car park, every good action that has the hidden mud of pride mixed in so well, you can hardly tell where the good ends and the pride starts. And then allow his radical love to show you mercy, so that in you he might display his immense patience as an example for others. So I hope that through this sermon and my notes, God has been working in your hearts to challenge you in the different ways that you can more closely imitate Jesus. Whether that be through following his servant heart, despite the inconvenience, or receiving his radical love, or even in another way that I haven't mentioned today and that God has put on your heart. And if it has, but you're not sure where to start, please, after the service, find Pastor Michael or Pastor Ollie and chat with them. I'm sure they'll be more than happy to talk with you. Thank you all again for accepting us into your church for this last week. It's been an incredible blessing to all of us. I'll close us off in prayer, and then I have one final note after that. Yeah, our beloved Heavenly Father, God, what can we say? We never follow the example of our brother in the way that we should. But that's okay. You show your radical love to us to pick us back up, clean away the mud and dirt, and set us going again. So, Lord, I pray anyone here who's been challenged to serve today, please don't let them go. Please drive them forward into service so that they may know the blessing of serving and have you grow in their lives. And for anyone here who's struggling to receive your radical love or is even considering it, Lord, please pour it out on them. Help them to know your love and your forgiveness. Lord, please move in the way that only you can. And help us to follow our brother more and more closely every day. Please bless the church here at Lakes Entrance. And continue to do your good work through them. In your name, amen.